Well, on Thursday, the youth, like I said, some of the youth group went up to upstate New York for their Saturate. And it was interesting because I was texting back and forth to a couple of them because they were going through a big snowstorm on their way up. Can you believe it? The beginning of November and they're in a snowstorm on their way up to New York. And it got me thinking about just when you're out traveling or something like that, getting caught in a bad storm. Have you ever been caught in a bad storm? Like bad, bad storms. I know for me, I love being outdoors and so spending time outdoors. I have quite a few like bad storm stories, getting caught in bad stuff. Like one year we got caught down in Hatteras, North Carolina in a hurricane and we were stuck in our house while our cars flooded and all that good stuff. I remember one time we ran out of gas on I-80 in the middle of Pennsylvania in the middle of the night in a snowstorm. That was a good storm story. One time, the fishing boat I used to work on, we got struck by lightning on our way into Cape May Inlet in the middle of this huge thunderstorm that came upon us, and that was a shocking experience, to say the least. But thank you. I'm here all week. And I'm sure you have storm story memories like that as well, and things that you just say, wow, storms are crazy. And one thing that's really crazy about storms that I know I found is that, you know what, we can only do so much to fight against the storm. Sometimes when a storm is so bad, really we realize that it's out of our hands, it's out of our control, and really all that's left for us to do is just hang on, right, and hope for the best. And sometimes we've been in situations like that. I don't know if you've been in situations like that. And well, the truth is that we don't just face storms like weather-related storms in our lives. We face other kinds of storms in our lives, don't we? We can face all kinds of things that can overwhelm us. I know this morning we have some first responders here. We have some of our police and fire. And I'm sure for some of you firefighters, I know, Bob, you've probably been in situations where accident scene or a fire where it's just out of your control. And all you got to do is just say, we can't do anything right now. And it feels very overwhelming. Law enforcement, sometimes maybe a crowd gets out of control. Or, you know, the public gets misinformation about who the police are, and then they start hating the police for something you never even did. And you can't turn the tide, and it's out of your hands, really. And there's not much you can do, and it becomes frustrating as things get unjustly thrown on you. Or maybe we face storms in our life, and maybe you face storms in your life that can be like family issues, maybe in raising your kids. I know I have two teenagers, so we have plenty of storms, you know. Or maybe it's marriage issues and stress that goes on with that. Maybe it's financial stuff or health issues that kind of come out of nowhere and kind of knock you for a loop. Those kinds of storms. Have you ever been in those kinds of storms in your life and you're just like, I don't know what to do? Well, this morning I want to take you somewhere. I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament, where we're going to see a sudden and severe storm of life that came upon Jesus and his followers. And through it, what we discover is how we can face head-on any storm that may come our way. So you can turn this morning to Mark chapter 4. And if you don't have your Bibles, if you have an app on your phone, you can turn there. But if you don't have a Bible with you, we have them right in the seat back in front of you. And you can turn to Mark. It's the New Testament, second book of the New Testament. I think page 489, is that about, 839. Is that about right? 839, yeah. Somewhere around there. So you can turn there and just kind of leave it open. And as you turn there, I want to set the stage of what's happening here. You know, the Gospels are all about the life of Jesus, the ministry on earth of Jesus. So they're really written as a story. And basically in Mark, where we are in Mark chapter 4, Jesus had just begun his earthly ministry. So he's now walking the earth, and he had just called 12 disciples or followers to come and follow him, and he was going to train them, and they were going to come with him wherever he went. And where they are is they're in this upper area of Palestine. It's like about 75 miles or so north of Jerusalem, so the upper area of Palestine in a region called Galilee. And this was an interesting region because this is where most of his disciples were from, and it's also where Jesus grew up. So they're up in this region. And they're in these local towns around a big lake up there. It's called the Sea of Galilee. And around this area in the towns, Jesus had been going through these towns and he's been healing the sick. And more than that, he's been teaching. And he's been teaching, telling them stories, what's called parables. And these parables are they're these real-life practical stories that have a spiritual meaning to them, or teaching, and teaching them about God. And through these stories, he's been drawing huge crowds. So huge crowds of people are starting to follow Jesus, and they're closing in on him and things like that. And one day, as evening came, Jesus wanted to get away. He's just like, all right, we got to get some space now. And this is where we pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. So let's read through it, and then we'll talk about what's happening here. It says, on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side of this Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles wide, about 12 miles high, so, you know, not too far of a journey. But they said, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took with him and with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, or the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right, let's get this picture here of what's happening here. All right, Jesus gets in a boat with his disciples, right? And they want to cross over to the other side of the lake, or this Sea of Galilee. And again, this Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles by 12 miles. And what's interesting about the Sea of Galilee is it's surrounded by hills and valleys, which makes it really easy for windstorms to come up quick, because wind's always blowing through the mountains and things, that passes, and it comes right down into the sea, and it can kick up this sea in like minutes. And there can be really bad storms there. But that's not that big of a deal, because you know why? Because most of Jesus' followers are professional fishermen. And they're boaters, and most of their experience has been on this very body of water. So they were experienced, and they could handle themselves. At least most of the time they could handle themselves, as we see here. You see, that night, when they're out there, this windstorm arises, right? And it's a bad one. So bad that it says the boat's taking on water, okay? And it's in real danger of sinking. Now, I don't want you to picture the scene here that while this is going on, all the guys in the boat are just sitting here going, whoa, look at this. The boat's filling with water. We're going to sink, okay? If these guys really know what they're doing out there on the water, what are they probably doing at this point? Bailing, they're trying to save the ship, right? They're taking down the sails. They're frantically taking down the sails. Some of them are bailing. They're trying to turn the ship into the waves so that it's not crashing over the side and all these things, right? There's chaos going on, basically, right? As they're trying to save this ship, and they're fighting a losing battle. And while all this chaos is going on, we have Jesus sleeping in the stern or in the back of this boat. Now this boat, I'm going to put a picture of this boat up. This was a typical boat around that time in the Sea of Galilee. So you see, it's not a cabin cruiser, it's not a yacht, okay? Jesus, you know, it's this rowboat basically with sails and oars, and it's open. So it's not like Jesus is like is sleeping down in the VIP suite, you know? Jesus is actually on the back of the boat on a cushion sleeping. Why is this important? Because he's in this storm too. He's getting splashed by waves. The wind's blowing on him just as much. Yet instead of panicking like his followers are doing, he's sleeping. That's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, who does that? So meanwhile, the disciples are doing everything they can to do to save this ship, right? And their lives, until they finally give up and they decide, you know what? We're going to wake up Jesus. We better get Jesus. Now, when I read this, I'm just like, you know, We can kind of be like that, can't we, when we're stuck in storms, when we're stuck in chaos sometimes? I don't know about you, but we get the macho in us, and we're like, I can handle any problem I come across, right? So if problems come up, I can handle it. You know, I have all girls in my house, so when something comes up, I'm like, I got this. I can put that screw in, you know? But you feel like you can do anything, right? So we try to solve everything ourselves, don't we? Try to do everything we can until our last resort is, oh, maybe I ought to come to Jesus. You know, maybe Jesus shouldn't always be our last resort, huh? Well, we'll leave that there. Anyway, the disciples, okay, they're desperate, okay? So they finally wake up Jesus. So I picture him, you know, shaking Jesus, saying, wake up! And they're like, hey, Jesus, get up, man. Don't you care we're going to die? It's basically what they're saying to Jesus. So in the midst of this storm and everything's going on around them, they wake up Jesus and they're like, don't you care that we're going to die? All of us. So picture this scene. They wake up Jesus. So he's sleeping. He probably goes, huh? You know, kind of lifts up his head. You know, ugh. Rubs the sleep out of his eyes, you know, in the middle of a storm. And then it says, he sees the wind and he yells to it, yo, wind, stop. Or he yells, peace, right? And then it says, he talks to the waves. So then he sees the waves and he says, you know what? Just calm down or be still. And as soon as Jesus did that, everything became glass calm. I don't know about you, if that happened and I was out there, I'd be like, what? What just happened? How? What? Anyway, there's silence going on right now, right? Everything is still. The disciples, probably they're still like grabbing hold of the mast, and some of them still have buckets, and they're just like, what do we do now? And Jesus kind of breaks this awkward silence. And he breaks it with kind of a bit of rebuke to them, you know? He says, why are you guys so afraid? Have you still no faith? Or, hey, what's the big deal? Did you really think we were in trouble? I mean, really? Yeah, we really did. Yeah. And then our story kind of closes with the disciples sitting there, and it says they were afraid, or they were filled with fear. Now, this isn't kind of fear like they're afraid for their lives or something. This kind of fear is like awe and disbelief. They're just like, what the? And they start to say to each other, basically, who is this guy? I mean, he's a great teacher and all, but he's in control of nature itself. What have we gotten ourselves into? And this is how the story closes. And this scene, man, it had to be something to experience, you know? Can you put yourself there on what that would be like, that fear, and then all of a sudden, everything's calm. Talk about a storm story. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be tempting for us to be a little hard on the disciples. Well, they should have known. Come on, they're rookies, man. Of course Jesus is with them. But if we're honest with ourselves, if we're in chaos like this, and if we've been in chaos, or maybe our lives are in chaos right now, it's not always easy to say, oh, Jesus, sure. Right? Sometimes maybe we're a little bit more like them than we care to admit. But you know what? Through this story, what we discover is we discover the key. The key to being able to be prepared for and weather any storm that comes our way. And it's this: to cling to Jesus. You know, that's the most macho thing we can do in life. Sometimes we say, no, I got to fix everything. No, the most macho thing we can do in our life is cling to Jesus. You see, Jesus is bigger than any storm we could ever face. Anything we can face in life, only Jesus can calm the storm. So as we wrap this passage together and we wrap it up and say, well, what do we really learn? What is it about this Jesus that we learn that helps us cling to him or helps us trust in him through these storms or whatever we face? Why can we do this? Well, the gospel writer Mark points out a few things in here that Jesus does and who Jesus is that can give us peace when we're in any storm. And it begins when we realize that no matter what, Jesus is with us. No matter where we are, no matter what we face, Jesus is always with us. You know, in this story, Jesus, he wasn't watching all this unfold from far off. He wasn't on shore, like watching this storm and saying, wow, they're in trouble out there. You know, he wasn't in safety, kind of looking far off and said, well, if they need me, maybe they can shoot a flare up or something. No, you know what? Jesus was right there with them. Right in the boat. He was getting wet. He was getting tossed about. He was right in the danger zone. Jesus' followers, they were never alone. And you know what? When we face storms in our life, when we face health situations, financial troubles, relationship stress and craziness where we feel like we're the only one who's going through this, or the only one who feels this way, guess what? We're not, because Jesus is with us. We are never alone. We don't have to face these situations alone. Jesus is with us. In fact, you know what? Jesus is not only with us, but he comes to us where we are to be with us. I mean, that's what Jesus did in coming to earth, isn't it? We were in chaos. We're sinners, rebellious against God. Because of sin, we have a penalty, right? We deserve death. That's our, you know, that's what Scripture tells us, right? That's the penalty of sin is death. And there's nothing we can do to change that. We can never be right with God. So what does God do? God becomes flesh. Jesus, God in the flesh. What does he do? He comes to us. He comes to meet us where we are. Actually, Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells it like this in Philippians. It says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing. Taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So basically, here's what Paul's saying. Jesus came to us on earth. He left all the glory in heaven to come and get dirty right where we are. Experience hunger when he didn't have to. Experience rejection. Experience pain. Experience fatigue. Things that we experience. Temptation. And he came to experience all of that so he could be right there with us. And most of all, so that he could take care of our sin by dying in our place. That's what Jesus did to come to us. And Jesus right now is with us, so we are never alone. In fact, Jesus told all his followers that, behold, I'll be with you always, even to the very end of this age. So that we don't have to battle through our storms, our trials, our struggles that we face. We don't have to face them alone. Guess what we get to do? We get to cling to Jesus. We get to cling to him so that we're never alone. And not only is Jesus with us in the storm, and while we may be afraid in the midst of the storm or concerned, guess what? Jesus is not worried. We see this in the story too, right? And for me, this is the hardest part of this whole story in Mark to kind of wrap my head around. That while this huge storm is going on, everything around him is in total chaos and going downhill fast, Jesus isn't just sitting back doing nothing, sitting back there watching everybody work. He's not doing that. He's sleeping. Sleeping. I mean, first of all, how can you sleep when all that's going on? Right? Getting splashed, shaken about and all this. But also, how can you not be concerned by all the danger around you? You know what sleep is? Sleep is the ultimate sign of not being worried. Think about it. When you have a lot on your mind, you have a lot of things going on. You're dealing with things and you're like, I don't even know how I'm going to pay the next mortgage bill. All this stuff. What's the first thing that goes? I can't sleep. Right? Do you ever have those nights where you can't sleep? It's not because you're just sitting here saying, I got nothing on my mind. I'm totally relaxed. I can't sleep. No. It's usually, I got so much going on. So when you sleep, that means you're not real worried. And you're also at your most vulnerable, aren't you? Because there's nothing you can do to defend yourself when you're sleeping. I mean, unless you're a restless sleeper and punch people and stuff. But there's not much you can do while you're sleeping. So you're at your most vulnerable. Anything can happen. You can't even respond to it. Yet there Jesus is. He's sleeping. And he's sleeping so deeply that he needs to be woken up. And even in that, when he's woken up, he doesn't panic. It says, he rebukes the wind. So he says, wind, stop it. And then he says to the waves, be still. And it calms down. So I've been woken up when there's been a storm going on or when there's chaos. Have you ever been in situations like that and something's going on? I remember where the house down the street from us burned down and all the fire trucks and things. And I'm a pretty deep sleeper, so I was sleeping while all this was going on. And Debbie wakes me up. She's like, you got to get up. Something's burning down. Something's on fire. And I woke up and all I hear is all the sirens and stuff. I didn't wake up and go, peace, be still. I woke up, I'm like, what? Ooh, what? Ah, you know, fell out of bed. I'm just like flailing at nothing. That's usually how we wake up when there's chaos, right? That's not how Jesus woke up. Why? Because he wasn't worried. He wasn't panicking. He was calm, cool, and collected. You see, you know what? That is the nature of God. And Jesus is God in the flesh. Here's the nature of God. Nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing overwhelms God. Nothing catches him off guard. You'll never hear God saying, oh, I didn't see that coming. Or, whoa, that snuck up on me. God will never say that. God is in complete control. Nothing worries him. And while we may feel worried, while we may feel overcome and doubtful in our own storm, you know what? Jesus is not only with us, but he's got us and our situation, and we're in good hands. You know, God reminded one of his prophets of this. God's prophets in the Old Testament, they were his spokesmen, and he would give them a message, and it was usually a message to come and repent because you were doing bad stuff. And one of his prophets, Isaiah, has to go and get the people, to call the people back to God. And he's a little worried about this. You know what God tells him? In Isaiah 41, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. It's a fancy word of saying, don't be worried, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, or with all of my power. God's not worried. God's in control. And he's in control for us too. Not just Isaiah. This means that we can face any storm we face because God is with us and he's in control. So we can face these storms in life with hope and with confidence because God's not worried. And best of all, do you know why he's not worried? Because what we see here is that Jesus can do anything. And this should give us peace in the midst of storms like no other aspect of God. That God can do anything. God can change anything in an instant. You know, Jesus can command nature itself, we see here. Do you know why Jesus can command nature itself? Because he created it. In Colossians, Paul says, for by him and for him and for him are all things. So everything was created by him. So if he created, of course he's over it. Of course he can change it all. But it's not just nature that Jesus can overcome. He can do anything in, for, and through us. Do you know that he can change our circumstances in an instant? He can move mountains. He can do the impossible. In fact, you know, as we're coming up to Christmas, you know, Christmas is all about the impossible. And when God came and visited Mary, you know, he says to Mary, I know you're a virgin, so you can't have kids. It's impossible for you to have kids because you've never been with a man. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a kid. And not only that, it's going to be Jesus. It's going to be God in the flesh. It's going to be the long-awaited Messiah. What? How can that happen? Well, he tells her in Luke chapter 1, he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. You think it can't happen? God can make it possible. Because the same God who had a virgin have a baby, and it was the Son of God, is the same God that can move in our finances or that can change our health situations. Nothing's impossible with God. When it comes to our storms, He can heal our sickness, restore broken relationships, rescue our finances. He can change hearts of people that are against us. God can do all of that. In short, He can bring peace to any storm we face. And even if He doesn't take us out of the storm, knowing He's with us and He can do anything gives us peace right in the middle of it. And we can say, you know what? You're in complete control, so I know you're not going to let me fall completely apart here. And you'll be with me. And He can be our peace in it as we cling to Him. You see, in life, it's not a matter of if storms come to us. So don't sit here and say, I'm not going to have any storms. Yeah, you are. It's when storms will come. You might be in the midst of them right now, because storms in life are reality. Trials and struggles are a reality in our life, but they don't need to overwhelm us, because no matter the storm or trial we face, it's nothing compared to Jesus. Jesus is bigger than any storm we may face, and as we face them, we can cling to Him, because He's promised to be with us. So we're never, ever, ever, ever alone. He's with us in total peace, never worried, so that we can rest in Him, because He can do anything. You see, only Jesus can calm our storms. So what do? We learn to cling to Him. Cling to Him now, so that when you get in the storms, you're already clinging. And you know when it begins? It begins clinging to Him for dear life, for our life. Because life does hang in the balance because of our sin. That's what sentence we're under. We're under a death sentence, because we can never overcome our own sin. Only Jesus can. He did it when He came to earth, lived the perfect life we could never live, died on a cross to take our sin, pay the penalty once and for all. Then He rose from the dead to give us life, to give us a relationship right now with God and forever. And do you know how that's all received? We cling to Him. We trust Him. That's what we do. And we can do that today. So if you're here today and you've never even done that, it starts there. And it's there's no secret words to say. You know, you don't have to walk around the building 7 times. You know what you need to do? You need to say, God, save me. I can't do this on my own. And at that moment, you know what happens? He comes to be with you. Always. So you can do that right now where you sit. Now I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, you can pray to God. You can just say to God, save me. But I want to pray and bless you this morning, and then we have something we're going to do right after we pray. So let's pray.